judgment. Oh, thanks to God, I found that to be so. You see, when you receive a new heart from Almighty God, you will behave differently. You Bible students know the story of Saul in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel, that 10th chapter. Oh, I thank God for his word that's left on record for you and I. Thank God we can go back and reference some information that's in the word of God. So you Bible students know the story that God had chosen Saul to be the first king of Israel. Saul was a nobody. Why do you say that, Sister Renee? Because Samuel mentioned that to Saul. He told him in one passage of the scripture, he told him when he was littlest in his own eyes. See, when he didn't think nothing about himself, that God was able to use him. Oh, I thank God for it. When we were little in our own eyes, God was able to use us to do the will of Almighty God. Not our will, but God's will would be done. I believe it's over in 1 Samuel. I don't know if I said 2nd, but I believe it's in 1 Samuel. And this is what he was saying there in the word of God. If you turn there to chapter 10. He said there in verse 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil. He poured it upon his head and he kissed him and said, it is not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. But I believe the scripture I was trying to find might be over there in 1 Samuel 8. Where he was telling them, when you were little in your own eyes, God was able to use you. But see, Saul, as you know, went on. And Saul began to do various things. That Saul ended up falling out of the will of Almighty God. You see, Samuel had made some predictions to prove Saul that God had sent him. Look at verse 9 in chapter 1 Samuel 10. And look at what it says there in verse 9. It says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. God gave him the heart. Samuel didn't give it. God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass. I want you to read that in your leisure, all these scriptures here. God gave him another heart. He said, and all those signs came to pass. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him. See, Samuel told him that these prophets were going to meet him. And the Spirit of God, it says, came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Oh, saints of God, when God changes you, God can change you in a nanosecond, so to speak. God can bring a change over you that the world will see that you are now a child of God. But saints of God, we know, as Saul went on in the Bible story, if you continue to read throughout Samuel, Saul became big in his own eyes. Saul didn't wait on Almighty God. Saul went and did things that God, Samuel, had told him to wait. He told him to wait 7 days for him, not to offer up a sacrifice. Saul went in and offered up this sacrifice, and Saul was not able to do that. Why? Saul was not a priest. He was a king. But he had not been called to the priesthood of Almighty God. And then he went on and did some other things. And Samuel asked him the question in verse 13 of chapter 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. I'm skipping around, saints of God, for time. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You know, God may put you in a position to do something. But then when you get to the place that you believe that you are over Almighty God, God will shut you down. And you saints of God know, as you go on and continue to read in chapter 15, this is where Saul was told to go in and destroy all Agag and everything that was there, the Amalekites. Saul took upon himself. He decided to save Agag the king. And when Samuel, we're told there in chapter 15, verse 17, when Samuel came to him, Samuel had asked him a question. In verse 16, he said, "Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on." And this is what Samuel told him. "When you were little in your own eyes, wasn't thou not made the king, the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord?" See, it wasn't Samuel that was giving him those instructions, but it was God using Samuel to give him those instructions. He said, "Wherefore thou didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord." And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, this is just like the devil. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil." Look, he blamed it on the people. Yeah. Oh, we can go back to the garden, saints of God. Yeah. Mankind from the beginning have been blaming it on someone else. But that's not going to stand in the judgment of Almighty God. Yeah. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. You're not going to be able to stand in the judgment and say, "Well, it's Sister Renee's fault." And I'm not going to be able to stand in the judgment and say, "It is your fault." We're going to have to stand before Almighty God and give an account of our deeds. He went on to say there, "But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as sin of witchcraft." Look what he went on to tell him. "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord." So when you go against Almighty God and what thus saith the Lord, you are rejecting Almighty Amen. God. And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Saints of God, we have nothing to fear about people on this earth, but our fear needs to be of Almighty God. Jesus said, "Fear him who is able to do what? Destroy both soul and body." Oh, that's who we are to fear. And you know, saints of God, as we go on to read, Saul continued on and was doing various things that he was not supposed to do. Oh, but there came a time in the end of Saul's life, he reached a point that he was trying to reach those in the grave. You see, when you fall from the grace of Almighty God, the devil has nothing for you but to make you shameful in the things that you will do. I ask you to read it in your leisure. I thank God that the word of God is left on record for us. That's why we got to keep our hearts, saints of God, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Yes, God had transformed Saul, but Saul turned on Almighty God because he failed to follow the promises of God. Let not that happen to you and I. You see, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, he gave us access to God and his power, a power to transform our hearts from sin hardened to Christ softened. When we were separated from God with hardened hearts, we found it impossible to please Almighty God. Yeah, you and I all, we were out there in this world. We had selfishness all around us. There was rebellion. There was sin. We were doing things we were big enough to do. But with a new heart, we are declared righteous before Almighty God. The Holy Spirit of God has given us a desire to please God that was foreign to us before. Now we have this desire. How many of us still have that desire today? How many have us still have that zeal that we had when we got saved, that we're running on for Almighty God? Oh, see, we became like Jesus only when we allowed God to rid us of that old hardened heart and for him to give us a new heart in Jesus Christ. You see, only through God's divine power could any of us escape the corruption that was in the world, that was in the world back then when we got saved, and that is definitely in the world today. You see, this type of living that you and I are doing takes a lot more than human effort. It takes God's divine power in each and every one of us to order our lives or our steps in his eternal word. When we came to Jesus, we now walk according to the scriptures, newness of life. That old man has been crucified with him, meaning that our old man is dead to the things of this old world, and we are now alive to the things of God through the Spirit. Praise God. We now live and walk to please God. How? By acting on what the word of God says. You see, as we embrace more of God's eternal word, as we read and study more of God's eternal word and the principles of the doctrine of Almighty God, you and I will abound more and more in the things of Jesus Christ. You see, the word of God tells us that our God is overjoyed. We are told in 3 John, the 4th verse, when we walk in the truth, which is God's eternal word. You see, we are to walk according to a measuring stick or a standard. The Bible is our measuring stick, not only that we may know God's perfect will, but also that we may never be doubtful about our current relationship with him. When I came into the house of the Lord this morning, I went downstairs and I saw Bible written on one wall. Basic instructions before leaving this earth. Oh, praise be to God. Oh, there are standards, saints, for us to live. I'm not talking about a creed. I'm not talking about a doctrine or something you have here. I'm talking about the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It is our measuring stick so that you and I know how we measure up to God's eternal word. And if it is our roadmap, then we ought to know what the requirements are for you and I to make it into the kingdom of God. Praise God. Jesus said in the word of God in John 5, verse 39, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a work that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Think about it for a moment, saints of God. Those of us who are able to be on Wednesday night, and we know our Wednesday night leader is Brother Byron, and Sister Blake fills in when brother's not there. Think about if Brother Byron and Sister Blake did not study, or even myself did not study the word of God. Would we want to sit and listen to what you have to say? Would we want to sit and listen to brother and them just saying any old thing that comes to their mouth? Or would you want to sit here on Sunday morning and listen to any old thing that comes to my mouth? Or will you want to know what thus saith the Lord? You know, next week in our Bible study week, Brother Levester and Brother Maurice are going to be talking to us about drawing a continuation of drawing closer to God. These brothers we know, and I have no doubt in my mind, have been studying the word of God. I know they've been referencing scriptures and going on them, over them. And I know when they lay down at night, the scriptures are growing in their mind. I know that from having to study from the word of God. Scriptures are running in your mind. Sometimes I've told Sister Blake I'd be in the shower and scriptures are coming to me. I don't have anything to write with, but God is pouring out his word in my mind. Sometimes driving on the road, God will pour out something to me. I found myself pulling over. I've got a little notepad and jotting things down because God has shared something with me. Also, I know that these brothers are studying how many believe they are. And you'll know by the fruit on starting on tomorrow, Lord willing, they'll be talking to us about the word of God, just like Brother Byron and Sister Blake does on Wednesday night, giving us the word of God, allowing us to eat. Remember, he said in the word of God, blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. What? For you shall be filled. Are you getting full, saints of God? Full on the word of God and on the things of God. Oh, saints of God, these scriptures give us a personal responsibility for each and every one of us. If we want to know about God or to know more about him, we've got to get into his eternal word and read about him. Turn with me to 1 John 5, verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which we know is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. There's no separate agenda in Almighty God. There's no separate agenda in Jesus Christ. And there's no separate agenda in the Holy Spirit. They are one, and they all speak the same thing. Praise God. Amen. We learned on last Lord's Day that there is a right path, that there is a wrong path, and that the Lord wants his people to travel the right pathway in our Christian walk. Yeah. He wants us on a path that's going to lead us in his direction to our eternal home. You see, external religion will not get us into the kingdom of God. Neither can we handshake our way in. Neither can we pay our way in. Neither can we talk our way into the kingdom of God. You see, this is what's being taught to many. All you have to do is clean up the outside, so to speak, and act a little religious. Say some religious thing, and you are saved, not according to the word of God.
Amen.
This is why true salvation is necessary. Souls are dying daily without a savior. And saints of God, our lives have got to show them to Jesus Christ. I heard the other day that there are approximately 1,000 souls a day, over 1,000, I believe it is, souls per day that are dying to this COVID-19. And some of us know people who have it. Some of us know people or friends who have had lost loved ones. You see, that is astounding. Knowing that souls are going into eternity at a record number. I don't believe all those that are dying know Jesus Christ either. My heart sank the other day. I said to Sister Maria that it appears as if people are truly in a trance right now about the things of God. There's no urgency in people to get to know about God. People don't want to call and come to the house of God and learn more about God. I understand some will say, well, COVID's going on right now, Sister Renee. That's why people are going everywhere they want to go. COVID is not stopping them from going to political rallies, to games, and sitting out on bleachers for high school football. Why is it keeping you from coming to the house of God?
Amen.
The place you need to come, because your soul as is at stake right now. This COVID is walking through our country land and all over the globe, and they can't find a cure. Oh, they keep coming to you and saying, oh, we'll have a cure by the election. Or that's just the try to get you to vote for a certain individual and not vote for a certain one. But let me tell you something, saints of God, Jesus is here right now,
amen,
and his arms are wide open, and he's saying to all the lost that are under the sound of my voice, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Forget about COVID,
amen,
but come to me and get your soul right with Jesus.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
God. Praise be to God. I know we're living in a time where the devil has worn out many with all this religious mess that's going on in our world today. Many's conscience, as the word of God says, has been seared by a hot iron. They're numb to the things of Almighty God. But I say to the lost this afternoon, oh, there is one means of salvation, and that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, by placing your faith in him for salvation, you are given the gift of eternal life. Don't allow the enemy of your soul to keep you from coming to Christ Jesus. It is the devil's business to keep you where you are in this life, and that is without Jesus. He tries to make you feel like you're having fun. You are living the dream, so to speak. However, you are miserable. I know, because I once was a sinner too. Oh, I was in your shoes, so to speak. I know that the devil is a liar. And anyone that's professing to be saved was once in your shoes also. He'll make you think you're having fun. However, you are afraid most nights to lay your head down and go to sleep, because you don't know whether God's going to call you in the middle of the night and you're going to go into eternity. 1 John 3, verse 8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
We've got to come to Almighty God. And you got to lay your all on the altar of sacrifice, praise. Don't try to hold back something and take it back with you, but come to Almighty God and get your life right with Almighty God. You may say to me, well, sister, I don't know, but I say to you, you've heard enough scripture that you should know about Jesus Christ. You heard enough word that you should know how to come to Almighty God and to get your soul right with him.
Amen.
Oh, saints of God, for you and I too, the devil has many in our day and time trying to blur the lines that God Almighty has drawn. There are saints and there are sinners. There's no in between.
Right.
Saints live one way because they are saints of God, and sinners live another way because they are sinners. But you and I are to imitate our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Because we are now children of God. God, our Savior, Jesus Christ is our example. And because we have been entered into the family of God, there's a new birth that took place with each and every one of us. We now belong to Almighty God. We bear his name, and we share a family resemblance with Almighty God. And the world should see this in each and every one of us who are professing to be children of God. I can remember, as a child growing up, we were always referred to as Lawrence and Millicent Johnson's children or Sister Corrine's grandchildren. And we were taught, as so many back then, don't do anything to hurt your father's name, in particular the Johnson name. And I still feel obligated to that today, to live up to the good name that my father or my mother passed along to us. Although they may be dead and gone, we still feel to live up to their name. How much more as a child of God, we bear the name of our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We ought not to do anything that would tarnish the name of God. What do you say, in Sister Renee? They see it in the news all the time. We just heard this past week, another so-called minister of a big institution doing things ought not to do. And then turn and will say, oh, I only done it for fun. There is no joking and jesting in Almighty God. God doesn't have us get on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it's called, and go on and have our pants unzipped with a Coors beer in our hand, standing, hugging somebody else's wife and their clothes unzipped.
Amen.
And say you're doing it for fun. What kind of message were you trying to send? You weren't sending a message that you're a child of God.
Amen.
You weren't sending a message that you have that old man is gone and you're a new man in Christ Jesus. Oh, saints of God, we're living in some perilous times. We're living in some sad times. And it's sad to say that our world is looking at them, those that are claiming and doing these things, as their examples. And then they're turning around and they're saying, I told you they couldn't live right. I told you they couldn't live for Almighty God. Oh, I think about it, saints of God. There's truth in the word of God. There's truth in living to the way God has said for us to live. Oh, we've got to go and get into the word of God and know what God wants us, how God wants us to live. We got to live so that the world can see that you and I are children of God. Yes, we bear the name of our Heavenly Father. We have to imitate God in our lives, living in such a way that we increase his reputation to this in this old crooked world in which we're living. Oh, we've got to do that, saints of God. Oh, think about what the word song that we sang oftentimes, lift him up. Listen to what these words say. He said, how to reach the masses. I believe we went over one time before in another message. He said, men of every birth, for an answer, Jesus gave the key. And that key is the word of God. And he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he'll do the drawing unto all men. Then he went on to say, the world is hungry for the living. But do you believe this, saints of God? The world is hungry. They're trying to see something different, and that's what's going on. They're trying to hear about from folks that are truly living from Almighty God. It says, lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words he has said. I'll draw all men unto me. Then he goes on, and these words are so important. Don't exalt the preacher. Don't lift me up whatsoever, because all I speak as the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. I am nothing outside of Almighty God. I'm only a vessel that God is using to preach and teach his eternal word. He said, don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel simple, full, and free. Prove him, and you will find that promise is true. I'll draw all men unto me. Then he says, lift him up by living what? As a Christian ought. Let the world and you, the Savior, see. Oh, if the world saw the Savior and more, do you think the world would be in the condition it's in right now? He said, then men will gladly follow him who was taught. I'll draw all men unto me.
Amen.
Then he goes on to say, lift him up. Lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, our new life in Christ is all about living right. In other words, we are to live like Christ Jesus lived. 1 John 2, verse 6 says, he that saith, think about the word of God. You got to turn everything back to the word of God. He that saith he abideth in him, meaning he that saith I remain in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked.
Amen.
How did Christ walk? He knew no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't lie, cheat, steal, and do wrong to any mankind, but he came here to make a better life for mankind. He came that man, the word of God tells us, might live and that they might have life more abundant in Christ Jesus. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, you and I are to live out the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. We are challenged to live out our lives with genuine spiritual values and not the values of a fallen world. We to live a heavenly, holy, God-honoring, God-fearing life in this present world. We are to allow a heavenly perspective to govern our earthly walk. Every decision, every activity we go to, every plan, every purpose are to be considered in the light of eternity. Everything is to be laid out before Almighty God and considered not from some earthly perspective, but from the viewpoint of heaven. Would God be pleased if we are doing this? When we do, then you can truly sing, He leads me each day in a heavenly way. So onward and upward I'll climb. In the straight, narrow way, I'm determined to stay.
Praise God.
Amen. Until He leaves this old dark world behind. Praise God. God leading you each day. Oh, in a heavenly way. Oh, I thank God for being led in a heavenly way. Oh, thank God for His word. Truly, it's left on record for you and I. Praise God. That should be our testimony, saints of God. That should be our testimony of each and every one of us who are professing to be children of God. You see, God's people are called upon to become heavenly minded. This is possible because of our Lord's presence in our lives. Oh, thank God. Jesus sits on the right-hand side of God. Our children learned this morning He is the mediator between God and man. There's no other mediator but the Lord Jesus Christ, who's making intercession for each and every one of us. In our scripture text this morning in 1 Peter, Peter gives us a flood of information, a flood of good information about right living. In verse 1, we see God's weapon for right living. Here Peter tells you and I, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, he tells us to arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You see, God's weapon in this verse is the mind of Christ. Peter says for us to arm ourselves with the same mind. You see, as children of God, we have to have the mind of Christ. This is the new nature we receive when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We are born again with the mind of Christ. And this new nature enables us to live a right life, live the right way. How many have found that to be so? You see, Paul tells us this same message to the saints in Philippians, the second chapter, verse 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, when we have the mind of Christ, we will mind the things of Almighty God. That is why we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of Almighty God. When our mind is renewed, we will think about the things of God and think about less about the things of this old world. You see, as a child of God, we want to live right. We don't need to be forced to do anything godly. Do you hear what the Holy Spirit says? We don't have to be forced to do anything godly, but our new life will allow us to flow right into the things that God wants us to do, that are pleasing to God in our Christian walk. Notice the wording of Romans, that 12th chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. We know this scripture very well. We've quoted it many times, but we thank God it's left on record for us to be able to quote. And there's a reason that God gives it to us, because every time I go back to it, I find something else that God is showing. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he was speaking to the brethren. He's speaking to you and I today. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. This Christian walk includes our entire body, not just one part, but the whole. Everything we have, we've got to use all of our instruments, our eyes, our ears, our mind, our hands, our feet. All of it has to be used to the glory and honor of Almighty God. Here Paul tells us, that the yielding of our bodies to the Lord is our reasonable service. In other words, when we are totally yielded to God, it is the highest form of worship that we can render. Oh, saints of God, the psalmist said in that 116th division of Psalm, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Then he goes on to say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, saints of God, this walk with Jesus Christ is a personal one. It seems strange for you and I to ask, what can we give back to Almighty God for all that God has done for you and I? He's the one who spoke into existence the sun, the moon, the stars, and the ocean, and all the rest of our firmament we have out there. He is the one, we are told in Job 26, verse 7, who stretched out the north over an empty place, and he hung the earth, the world, upon nothing. He owns a cattle upon a thousand hills. He owns all the silver, all the gold. He owns everything in this old world. Yet the psalmist was asking God, what could he give to him for all that God has done for him?
Great.
Oh, when we ask ourselves the question, what shall I render or what shall I give? God is not looking for you and I to bestow material gifts upon God. But what God wants from us is our heart. He wants our life. He wants our obedience to the things that are in the Word of God. And nothing else will satisfy Almighty God except those things. That's what God wants from us.
Amen.
Praise God. Yes, we're blessed immensely. And we at least owe our God the reverence that is due his name. If we say we are child of God, then let us live like children of God ought to live. He gave us the greatest gift that surpassed all gift giving. You can't outgive God. I don't care how expensive it is. I don't care if it's a diamond that costs $5 million. You can't outgive God. Why? He gave the greatest gift, the unspeakable gift. And that was his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And one day with Jesus, it's worth more than 1,000 years of temporal blessings on this world.
Amen.
One day with Jesus is worth more than a diamond or a fancy car or a boat on the ocean. Oh, I found that to be so. Or one meal from heaven is worth all the bread. It's worth more than all the bread of this old world. Why? Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of who? God. Praise God. Oh, saints of God, we have been wonderfully blessed by our Heavenly Father. We heard about it at the onset of service. You think of God, all the blessings. Brother shared the blessings through a testimony of what we've been praying for. Brother shared another blessing over here, what we've been praying for. Sister shared a blessing over here, what we've been praying for. Other blessings out here that God, what we've been praying for, saints of God, those are the blessings of Almighty God. Oh, we've been wonderfully blessed. That's what we are told in Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. How many have found that to be so? God has poured out a blessing upon us, saints of God. Oh, praise God. Oh, this world can't bless you like God has. Oh, I don't care what you might be going through. We serve an omnipotent God. He made us. He's breathed into us the breath of life. He knows what he saved us from and out of. He knows everything we do, everything we will ever do. He knows our trials, saints of God. Our God knows our troubles. He knows our thoughts that are going through our mind right now. even those that we would never tell anyone, that are secret to other people. God knows all about it. But he's made a way of escape for each and every one of us. He has given us that which we need. He said, I will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And I found that to be so. God has supplied all of our needs. Everything God has supplied for us comes right on time. You may say, well, Sister Renee, brother's been praying for his brother to call him for the longest time. Oh, but God had him to call right at the right
Amen.
Opportune time.
Amen.
Our God is never late, and he's never ahead of time. But our God is right on time. And I found that to be so. Praise God. Oh, thank God of all his blessings. You think about us saints, when we get up in the morning, we're well. We're happy. We're thankful to be in the land of the living. Amen?
Amen.
We go about our daily lives. And there's some that go about and they think little about the goodness of Almighty God. But as a saint of God, we think about those goodnesses. See how little some think what a blessing it is to have a healthy body until
yeah.
you get sick. To be able to sit down and enjoy their meals. How many really thank God? One of the clearest verses in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. This verse says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Sister Renee? How many realize it's a blessing to have teeth in your mouth to eat with?
Yeah.
You see, you get a bad tooth on each side of your mouth, and you'll see. Oh, you'll realize just how good it is to have good teeth. Thank God for it. How many open the window in the morning, you breathe in the fresh air? You see, very few think of it coming from Almighty God, but I thank God for all of that. How many count it a blessing when you see the beautiful sunlight that's given by Almighty God each and every day? The rain that falls, that waters the ground, waters the land, waters the crops. So that you and I are able to eat. That's all from Almighty God. Amen. You see, we are given wonderful blessings. We're given wonderful things each and every day. Oh, instead of complaining, we got to sing that song Sister Carol taught us. Think of his goodness to you. When you began to think of God's goodness, none of us have anything to complain about. Because God truly has been good to us. We're told in the Word of God in the 84th division of Psalms. We're told there in verse 11. It says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he what? Withhold from them that walk up. That's a promise from Almighty God. It says there, let's go over these words again. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. God is our sun. He is our light. He is also our shield from danger and various things. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If you're walking uprightly, God is going to bless you. He's
Thank
not going to hold anything from us.
Thank
How many have found that to be so? And if you
Thank
found
you
it to be so, praise Almighty God for his goodness. Oh, every good, everything good we have comes from Almighty God. Every piece of bread that we put in our mouth and every other thing we put in there, every breath of air, every good night's sleep, every drink of water, everything that makes a man's heart glad, God has given it to us.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank him. You see, man thanks the devil for those things. But God gave it to him. Devil never put enough water in anyone's mouth or in a bowl to wash anyone's face, but God has done it for us. The devil has never given us enough clothes to cover anything, but God has clothed us. Praise be to Almighty God.
Amen.
You see, every piece of clothing that is on a child of hell tonight was given to them by God Almighty. Oh, it came from God. Don't think it came through out of luck. Oh, I went there, I hit the lottery, and I bought, God gave you the breath to get up. He didn't tell you to go to the lottery commission. God allowed you to breathe all this air that God has given. You see, people are walking around blaspheming God. The very breath you're using to blaspheme him, God gave to you.
Amen.
Praise God. And then many wonder, why does God treat the ungodly so well? We're told in Matthew 5, verse 45, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, a lot of Christians get stumbled up on that. You see, God makes no distinction in his scripture. He said he rains on the just as well as the unjust. There will be a time of judgment that's going to come. But until then, our God graciously gives to those who do not honor his name, those who hate him, those who mock him, those who deny his existence, that will still get to enjoy. They get to enjoy good weather. They get to enjoy good food, good jobs, wealth, the love of family, a great many other things. God does not withhold those blessings all from those who do not serve him. We have a generous God, a loving God, a long-suffering God. Saints, we were too once out there in the world. So our God, yes, he is long-suffering. Why? For it's not his will that any man be lost, but that all be what? Saved. Oh, praise God. Give God the glory. Oh, if mankind would give God the glory, you'd hear it ringing throughout Columbus, Ohio, the United States of America, all over. Every farmer in this land will be resounding that Almighty God has blessed them. Oh, but people cannot understand. Why? Why? Don't try to understand our God. Just leave it up to God, but just live right. Just live according to God's eternal word. Yeah, he's given you and I all the things that we need. That's why we present our bodies to him, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. Oh, thank God for his eternal word. I was listening to a news program the other day, and the young lady, the news lady that was on there, she asked a question. And the gentleman on there, he said he's an atheist. He doesn't serve God. And he was talking on there and talking about Jerry Falwell Jr., and how he fell from, you know, supposedly grace, but I don't believe he had any. And he was talking about him. And then he said, we need to cancel God. I sat there, I thought, Lord, have mercy. And God had mercy on him. See, God could have took him out. God could have allowed his life to end right then and there, just like that. God could speak, man lives. God speaks, and man dies. See, it's by God's mercies that we are not consumed. God loves us. For those of us who are saved, it's by his grace that we're able to be saved through faith. It is God's gift that he gave us. We're redeemed only because of God's pure grace that God gave to us. Oh, I don't find it hard to serve him. I find it a joy. I'm reminded of the song, All in Jesus. The lyrics go, there is peace and joy in the Lord today. More than all in this world. Saints, have we found that to be so?
Yes.
There's a happy life in the holy way. Praise the Lord, I've entered. It's something to know you've entered in. Amen. I am blessed today. Are you blessed? I am free indeed. What a pleasure. Do you find it a pleasure to serve the Lord? How it fills my soul with delight to read in his sacred and holy word. Since my cross is gone and my heart is right. Oh, how blessed to do his will. It's blessed to do the will of Almighty God. See, when you're saved, you're not struggling. You're not worried that somebody's going to turn you in or you're going to get caught doing something wrong. Because why? You're doing all things that you're supposed to do. And those things are righteous and holy, and they are right. And when somebody asks you something, you tell them exactly how it is. You don't have to worry about trying to make up something or say, let me remember what I said. No, because what you said is true. Thank God for that. He said, now his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And his spirit, my soul, does feel. If you overcome when you would do right, if a deep aching void within, there's a sting of guilt and a sinful blight that will keep you from entering in. Oh, he said, all his grace is free. As the air we breathe, we may each have a full, it doesn't run out.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
God's grace doesn't run out because he gave some to Sister Blake. Oh, God still has plenty of grace.
Amen.
If
Amen.
We will obey and his word believe, he'll prepare us to do what? Is that what he's doing by the preaching
Amen.
Of his word?
Yes.
Preparing us to dwell on high. Then it goes on to say, praise the Lord. You know, people walk around and say, I'm free. Well, you are only free when you're in Jesus. He said,
Amen.
Praise the Lord, I'm free in his love and grace. Oh, his blood reaches me and I abide. Neath his smiling face. Are you abiding beneath his smiling
Praise
face this
God.
Afternoon? Praise God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God that there's a happy way in the holy way. Thank God that we can be a living sacrifice to Almighty God. Thank God we have settled it, that we live in for Almighty God,
Amen.
And that our God is in absolute control of our lives. He's in absolute control of everything that we do in this life. Why? Because he told us in all our ways to acknowledge him, and he would direct our path. How many believe your steps were ordered
Amen.
This morning in God's word? Praise be to God. You see, as we yield our bodies and our minds to God, it will become clearer and more important to us what God's will for our lives is. You may say to me, well, Sister Renee, I don't know what God's will is. Well, God's will is revealed to us through his Holy Spirit. And as we move through this old life, in this old world, God is in the business of maturing saints of God. You see, as we grow, he demands on our life a change. You think about it. He said to the newborn babes, as newborn babes, in Christ Jesus, you are to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's the growth you need to make in Almighty God. We don't need to be on the first principles of Almighty God. We've got to get to a point when we're living for Almighty God that we are moving up. We are getting deeper in the things of God. And when you get deeper in the things of God, the things of this world become what? Strangely dim. And the light of God and his eternal word, I
Amen.
Found that to be so.
Amen.
You don't want to go to the places that you used to go to when you were unsaved. Why in the world would a saved person want to go to a club at 2:00 in the morning and hopping and jumping to all that music and beat? Why? When now you're a child of God, when you live for the Lord, all that is passed away. There's a new man, a new woman in Christ Jesus. You don't want to have nothing to do with that kind of lifestyle. If you say to me, well, Sister Renee, I enjoy that. I enjoy that. I say something hasn't taken place. Because when you come to God, and all of us were sinners in here, were sinners.
Amen.
We all were living according to this old world. We were out there running as big as we could to all the things that were going on. But now that we are saved, we're saved. We no longer want those things.
Thank you, Lord.
There's no longer a desire to be in a club where all kinds of things are going on that ought not to be. Oh, Sister Renee, I thank God. You may say to me, well, Sister Renee, I've tried to live for Almighty God. I say to you, stop trying and just do it.
Amen.
People keep saying, I'm trying. I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to come to church. Just do it. You go everywhere else in life, You go all these different places. Just do it. God demands that on our life. He wants a change. He wants you to live right.
Amen.
And all the experiences that we go through, God will equip you and I to go through those experiences. He will do that. He will give us the Holy Spirit to guide us. If you feel that God's will seems unacceptable to you, then you're overlooking something in your life that God has said for you to do and what God is trying to show you. He will never lead you, as we said, to a place where he has not gone ahead and made the necessary provision. You Bible students know the story about Joshua and Caleb, and I ask you to read it in your leisure due to time. Joshua and Caleb were selected among 10 other men to explore the promised land and to give a report to Moses and the people. In verse 25 of Numbers 13, oh, thank God for his word that lets us know. It says there in verse 25, and they returned from searching. I'm just going to jump around, saints. I ask you to read it later on. He said, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children. But I think I need to go back just a little bit in verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch. You see, this is how the devil will have you to do things. God sent them over there to spy out the land. He wanted them to know what was over there. And so they cut down a cluster, a pomegranate. And it was called the brook of Eshcol. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land. In verse 25, after 40 days. See, they went over there and searched the land for 40 days. And they went. And all they could do was find this little cluster after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Oh, saints of God. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. They're speaking to Moses. And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, meaning in spite of this being the fruit of it, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the Amalekites. See, this is why God told Saul in the word of God he was going to destroy the Amalekites. It started here, saints of God, and the Amalekites were always something that group that was against Almighty God and God's people. He went on to say here, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. You see, these brethren are just like many today. How soon they had forgotten what God had just done for them. God had delivered them out of Egypt with one of the greatest displays of supernatural power the world had ever seen. There were 10 plagues against the Egyptians, and none of them came upon the children of Israel. Then they got there to the parting of the Red Sea, and it gave them safe passage to get through that. You see, Joshua and Caleb offered an example of faithfulness, commitment to Almighty God. When the nation refused to honor God by doing his will, they faced judgment instead of blessing. When God reveals his will, it is because he knows we are ready, and God knows he has already prepared the way for us. When he shows us it is time for you and I to march forward without question or reservation, because our God has already taken care of it. How many have found that to be so? You see, God sees the end of the matter before the matter begins. He knows all the obstacles, so to speak. He knows all the valleys that you and I are going to pass through as we go through. He knows where the provisions are that he has already placed along the way. His plan cannot be improved upon, but it must be followed as God has set it forth in order for us to have victory. We got to do what God has said in his word.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
We cannot be in a better place than in the place of Almighty God. So that's why, saints of God, we've got to know the will of God for our lives. We got to know what God has said for us to do. In our scripture text, Peter tells us to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. That is a weapon we've got to have in this day and time in which we are living, in order for us to live a right life with Almighty God. Also, Peter, in our scripture text, he let us know that that same mind that Christ showed had a readiness to suffer in the cause of religion. Saints of God, you and I have got to have that same readiness. He said, he that liveth godly shall what? Suffer persecution. So our state of mind as we walk in this Christian walk shall always be a ready mind with persecution and trial in the forefront of our mind, knowing we are going to go through something to live for Almighty God. But all you and I have to do is put our strength in God and learn to lean on Jesus Christ. Learn to walk. We just sang the song Sister had there. I'm learning to lean on Jesus and allow Jesus to hold you up in these trying times. I thank God for his word. He went on to say there in our scripture reading, verse 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness, and lasciviousness is sin. Lasciviousness is unrestrained indecency. And we're seeing it in our day and time right now. Oh, the lust that is going on. Men lusting after men and women lusting after women and men lusting after women and women after men. It's all over the place, but it's not of God.
Amen.
Praise God. In verse 4. We see that our godly living will bring on some ungodly words people will have against us, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. That's what we mean when we say that our godly living is going to bring about some ungodly words. People are not going to say things nice about you and I. Why? Because they think we're strange for living the way we do. They think we're crazy for trying to live a right life. Oh, that's what they think, saints of God. They think that about us today. But there are also people out there in this world today that want you and I praying for them. There are people out there in this world, they know that we are truly saints of God. That's why it's important for us to live like saints of God, or to live like we are called to be saints. He goes on to say, who should give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. It's speaking of a spiritual death here. Oh, it's not speaking of us dying literally, but it's speaking of the spiritual. We died to that old man and to that old woman, and we are now new creatures in Christ Jesus. He said, but the end of things is at hand. Do you believe that, saints of God? Oh, the end of things are at hand right now. You see, mankind is rejecting God on every hand. When you can say something like I shared with you, we ought to counsel God. You're talking about a righteous God.
My God.
Jesus said in the word of God in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. People are saying things that they don't understand what they're saying, but they're going up against Almighty God. He goes on to say here, but the end of things, all things is at hand. Be ye therefore, he's talking to you and I, we've got to be sober, meaning serious. We've got to watch unto prayer. We've got to know our prayer, how we're praying to Almighty God. He said, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Oh, saints of God, we're living in a time that things are happening in rapid succession. And there are some of these things. I remember a brother one Wednesday night said, we may be caught up in some of these things that are going on. They're shooting and killing people on every hand. You're driving up and down the road. But saying we may have to, saints of God, have fervent charity. We may have to forgive someone who may have taken a loved one's life. We may have to say, oh, I am sorry. I'm going to forgive you. I love you, and I'm going to forgive you. It may tear us up deep down inside, and other family members may not understand. But when you have the love of God, you've got to have fervent charity. He said, for charity shall cover what? The multitude of sin. He went on to say, as every man has received the gift, even so minister. Oh, saints of God, we've got to minister to this old dark world. We've got to tell them about Almighty God. You and I are under a higher order than they are in this whole world. Their standards, the world's standards are low and down, but the standards of Almighty God are high. They have to flow up to us. We don't flow down to them. We are in standing on God's holy ground, but thank God for his eternal word. You may say to me, well, Sister Renee, you know, there are people out there that say these things about God, but does God ever issue punishment upon them? And I say to you, yes, he does. Our God will judge. You remember he told us in the word of God that vengeance is mine, I will repay. He told us in Romans 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. You may ask that question, that what is the wrath of God? What is that wrath that's going to come down? There are many occurrences in our word of God that tells us about the wrath of God. When it builds up in Almighty God, so to speak, God is going to destroy mankind. There are things that are going to happen. I'm going to give you some examples. You can read them in your leisure. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, at the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his people were dealt with by God through the plague. And God dealt with him going into the Red Sea. In Genesis 6 through 8, you talk about the flood. God's wrath had built up on all the things that were going on in the land. And God let out his fury upon them by sending the rain. In Genesis 19, the wrath of God slowly built up against the people until it burst forth in judgment. In Numbers, the 12th chapter, you Bible students remember this story. When Aaron and Miriam spoke out against Moses, we are told in the word of God that the Lord's anger was kindled against them, that Miriam became leprous. Oh, we need to understand that there is no possible way for God to react but to act against sin, but through judgment. God is going to bring it down. The Bible tells us in Galatians, I believe it is the 6th chapter, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're also told in Hebrews 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, be careful. That's why I say God has a higher order for you and I. God will punish the unjust when they are doing things that go against God's eternal word. Praise God. As we bring this message to a close, Peter went on to say there, use hospitality one to another without grudging. You know, God loves a cheerful giver. The new life in Christ Jesus, when we give, we glorify our Father, which is in heaven. And God loves when we give to others and we help out in whatever way we can. He went on to say, as every man has received the gift, even so minister. All saints of God, it's not only the preacher or minister's responsibility to share with others about Almighty God. You and I have got to share with others the things of Almighty God. and tell them about Jesus Christ. He says, every man has received the gift, so even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man's going to stand before you and preach the word of God, they must preach it according to the word of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. When you stand before God's people, we want our Heavenly Father to be glorified in us. That is the only way that we can win souls to Almighty God. When we only speak the way which is the oracle of Almighty God, oh, it will bless the souls. Why? Because we're told in the 119th division of Psalms, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Why? Because it glorifies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we close, saints of God, I know there is not much in our land today to be joyful about, but the troubles of this land should not dictate to you and I how we live for Christ Jesus. Amen. We can all radiantly serve him, even in the midst of COVID, even in the midst of racial unrest. We can bring glory to Almighty God through the way that we live our lives in Christ Jesus. You see, all the glory goes to him because of all of God's goodness to you and I. When you see a soul on the street, smile at them. Let them know that you're a child of God. See, that smile is coming from Almighty God. Let them know that Christ has brought joy in your life through your new life in him. God wants all of us to live lives marked by right living. He wants us to live it by regular praying. We've got to pray for the lost. Pray for those souls that are out there. We got to love one another. We got to give. That's with the new life in Christ Jesus. God bless you is my prayer. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Thank God. The new life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise.
Amen. The new life. That means that old things have to have passed away. We're told, behold, all things have become new. So we can't hold on to any of those old things.
Amen.
We have to have a new life in Christ Jesus.
Praise
we have to bear his name. We have to bear his image. And his image is holy.
Amen.
And righteous.
Praise God.
Amen. In this new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall we stand?
Amen.
I liked there was a portion of the message where Minister Jenkins said that you know, when we are in sin, we have a stony heart. Stony heart, hard head, stiff neck. But in the message, he said, Jesus takes our heart and he transforms it from a sin-hardened heart to a Christ-softened heart.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
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 And the transformation,
yes,
the transaction can only come through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
A new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God for new life.
Amen.
What shall we sing? 470 in the worship of the Lord. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Do you have new life in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Or are you holding on to something from the old life?
Amen.
All things have to become new.
Amen.
New life in Christ Jesus.
My.
Praise God. Amen. The word has been given to us. If not everything is brand new, if some of those old things are still there, you can come and get help from the Lord. the Lord is able to abolish those old things if we have a willing heart. If there's anything that's still there, there's something that's a barrier, if there's a partition still between you and God, Jesus hung on a cross to break down that wall of partition.
Amen.
So that you can be brand new in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Shall we sing? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and
if we're going to be new creatures in Christ Jesus, there's nothing that we can hold back. Amen. That verse 3 said, take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. And that's not just the minister. Minister Jenkins preached about that. You know, our life needs to tell a gospel story.
Amen.
We need to tell someone why we're so happy. Why we're happy in Jesus. We need to be able to say what the Lord has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a song we sometimes sing, tell what he's done for you of his love so strong and true. Tell what he's done for you. Others may need him too.
Yeah.
Amen. And that third verse said, take my silver and my gold,
yeah,
not a mite would I withhold. So we see, even in everything, in every part of our life, give it to God. Amen. That's what consecration is. That's what being new in Christ Jesus is. Because we can't be halfway in Christ and half out.
Amen.
There is no half in and half out.
Amen.
When Jesus went to the cross, he poured out his life unto death.
Amen.
And so we must also be fully consecrated to him. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
To the Lord.
Everything. Amen. Shall we sing that fourth verse? Is there anyone with a need? Or anyone that was, yeah, pray for me. Amen. Pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We want to be fully consecrated.
Yes.
Amen. We want to search ourselves by the word and then say, Lord, search me.
Amen.
Lord, I want to be fully given to thee.
Amen.
Take my love, my God, I pour. At thy feet is treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee.
Truly, that is a song of consecration.
Amen.
If we sing that, we have to sing that from the heart. Because we know that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. He knows what is there. He knows if there's still a little corner of something that we need to give to him.
Amen.
To surrender, to be in total surrender to him. Amen. That's why there's a song we sing, it's my surrender. That's what consecration is. I have given up all to my Savior so dear, and his praises I ever would sing. And though all of this world should forsake me while here, to my Savior I ever will cling. That's what we have to do to be consecrated to him. Amen. To be new. New life in Christ Jesus. Amen. We can tell the enemy of our soul when he tries to come and tries to tempt us, get thee behind me, Satan, when we have consecrated everything to the Lord, when we are new in Christ Jesus. The devil has no part nor lot with us. And we can have power over sin and Satan. Amen. Amen. Thank God. We saw the upraised hands. Amen. Truly. But sometimes there are people when they're giving a testimony and we understand what it means when someone says, I want to be all that the Lord would have me to be. But it's gotten to the point now where some people just kind of use that as a catchphrase sometimes.
Amen.
You can almost hear it coming. I'm going to be all the Lord would have me to be. Yep. When we say that, we have to mean it from the heart.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. How many understood the message today? Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen. We saw the upraised hands, and the Lord saw our upraised hands. So we're going to look to the Lord first and thank him for the word today.
Amen.
Amen. To stir us up, to make us mindful. Praise God. None of us, those of us who are saved, none of us have been saved so long that we've forgotten what it's like to be a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Or at least we shouldn't have. Amen. Amen. We don't want to forget where the Lord brought us from. We're not dwelling on, we're not reveling in the sin that we used to do, but we can say, thank God.
Amen.
I'm not where I was.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for translating me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son.
Amen.
Thank God. Shall we look to the Lord?
Amen.
And just thank him, thank him, thank him. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, dear God, in prayer and in praise, dear Father, thanking you, Lord, for your goodness. Thanking you, dear God, for your transforming power, dear God. Thanking you, dear God, from taking us from being children of wrath to being children of God.
Amen.
Lord, Father, we were in sin, Lord, the wrath of God was on all of us. And we were all bound for hell, dear God. But, Lord, in your great love, wherewith you loved us, you gave your Son, dear Father, to die for us. Lord, that we could be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we give you glory today,
amen,
dear Father, for what you have done for us. We thank you, Lord, for your word, stirring up our pure minds by way of remembrance, dear Father. Lord, we don't ever want to forget this great work, dear God, that the blood of Jesus has done. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to walk in newness of life, dear Father.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to ever walk, dear God, Lord, in knowing, dear Father, that the work that you have done in us, dear God, no one else could do.
Amen.
And knowing, dear God, that, Lord, where you brought us from, dear Father, you were the only one who could redeem us from sin. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, to always be thankful, dear God, and Lord, to walk worthy, Lord, of this vocation wherewith you have called us. Lord, we don't ever want to bring a reproach on the name of God,
amen,
on the cause of God,
amen,
on the church of God,
amen,
dear Father. Lord, help us, dear God, to show someone else the path, dear God, to thee. Lord, that they may also, dear God, become children of God. Lord, that they may join us, dear God, on this walk to glory, dear Father.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you'd remember each one of our upraised hands, dear Father. Lord, you know, dear God, our heart's desire, dear God, to abide in thee, dear Father. Lord, we don't want to be lost. Father, we don't want to be a castaway, Lord, after we have told someone else, dear God, about this great salvation. Lord, we ourselves do not want to be a castaway. So help us, dear Father, to be sober, to be serious, dear God, to be vigilant, dear God, in this life. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to consider your word, dear God. And Lord, have you, Lord, give us understanding anywhere that we don't have understanding.
Amen.
Lord, we don't want, dear Father, to fall from our own steadfastness. And so we pray, dear God, that you would remember our upraised hands, dear Father. Help us, Lord, even to meditate on your word, dear God. And even, Lord, as we go through this week, Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would, Lord, help us, dear Father, Lord, to just be obedient, to obey your word in all things, dear
Amen.
God. And, Lord, truly, Lord, to be consecrated to thee. We thank you, Lord, for your message. We thank you, dear God, for Minister Jenkins, dear God, who brought your message to us. And, Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would help us all, dear Father, Lord, to be workers together with God in Christ Jesus. And, Lord, we'll give you glory.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to share your word with someone. Lord, if there's someone who heard your word, dear God, who was not saved, Father, we pray, Lord, that your spirit would continue to strive, dear God, with those souls, dear God. For truly, Lord, we know it's not your will that any be lost, but that all should come to repentance. And yet we know, dear God, in your word, Father, you said, few there be that find this great, straight, and narrow way. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak to the hearts, dear God, of those who are unsaved and undone, dear God. Lord, that they may find Christ Jesus while there is yet time. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd help us, Lord, to be examples of believers. And truly, Lord, we're going to give you glory and praise for it all. This we ask in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and we thank you again for your word. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Be seated for just a moment. Praise God.